This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given in August of 1956. The title of this lecture is Auditing Positions. This lecture is 27 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
I want to talk to you about the relative position of the auditor and the preclear, or positions of auditing. I'm sure, absolutely sure, that much good will come out of this lecture. Although I personally don't see the point in it myself. There are three general positions and two attitudes that must be taken into effect. But I'm sure that there are students who will have to know this, just to know that to get off this old kick of the psychoanalytic type procedure, because we're not even doing psychotherapy, you see. Psychoanalytic position, of course, is patient on the couch and analyst at desk. See, now that position no longer exists. It existed once with us in Dianetics, but it no longer exists. There is no such position. There is the position, however, and the first one that you will start out with, and I must call this to your attention for the excellent reason that it's very, very good processing, is auditor standing, PC standing, and that is also moving. In other words, upright. They are walking around the room or they're walking around outside. And the first and foremost of these we see in start, change, and stop as a process. They're both standing up. Now, why would this be the first position we would use? Well, it's very simple. It's mimicry. You should know that mimicry has a heart and a very ancient tradition. Mimicry with us is very useful. You see a little boy, he is feeling bad, and he keeps going like this, you know. You get around in front of him where he can see you, and you just nod your head at him back, you know. First thing you know, he'll come out of it. That is the basic element of communication, mimicry. An actor on a stage sitting down, facing the audience, which is sitting down, is, of course, engaging in mimicry. And the audience will feel a greater affinity for somebody sitting down than standing up momentarily. Don't you see? It's quite interesting. However, they feel that people who are standing up on the stage and in motion are alive. And they feel that people sitting down are as dead as they are. So just notice this in an auditor-preclear relationship. If you sit down and run start, change, and stop on a preclear, he will get the idea that he ought to be sitting down. And this fixedness of position will impress itself upon him so that he will not work as well. Now, furthermore, there is the matter of mimicry. Running old HC and running modern SCS alike run much better. The action is much better if both are standing. The auditor leads the preclear over to the wall. The auditor leads the preclear into the center of the room. Now, you'll have a lot of preclears that the first moment that you touch them on the arm, they scream and blow the session. You'll find this is germane to all those people who, if you ask them what effect could you have on people, they would say, well, let's see, I could get an atom bomb and kill them all. You know, I mean, some mild effect like this. This person is incapable of receiving an effect himself. And the moment some PC objects to your taking him lightly or touching him by the elbow, you see, you want to know what you're dealing with. The PC flinches. Remember that the comparable reaction in effects would be kill everybody, or I couldn't even kill everybody. That's below kill everybody. But that is the idea of making a real effect. What effect could you make on father? Well, we'd have to figure out some long distorted method of butchering him, you see, that it'd last a long time. Something on that order. So you touch him by the arm, he flinches. Why, just remember what you're dealing with. Don't particularly touch him by the arm, or don't stop touching him by the arm. Don't let him influence you to that degree. But you walk somebody around with minimal verbalization and maximal positioning, don't you see? And that would be the first entrance to any case, no matter how rough the case was. And you would find that by mimicry itself, you had established a considerable ARC with the individual, and you'll find they audit much more easily if you do this. And mimicry, by the way, goes so far that it may be all that you can do on a psychotic. It may be the total process possible on a psychotic. Psychotic jumps in the middle of the bed and throws a chair against the wall. You jump in the middle of the bed and throw a chair against the wall. Psychotic after a while says, well, what do you know? Now, if you want to be very selective, any sane action the psychotic made, you would mimic. And the insane actions, you would ignore. And if you did that over a long period of time, you probably would get a return to sanity just by that process alone. It's quite an unusual thing to have a process by which you can use your body as the speaking mechanism without it speaking at all. Now, you know what you're doing when you stand up and walk a pre-clear around the room through 8C or start, change, and stop. You know that to some slight degree you're introducing mimicry into the session. Don't be shocked if the pre-clear tells you that he has suddenly discovered that you were a very kind person. The reason he discovered you were a kind person was because you were walking and he was walking, and the positions were similar. All right? Our next use of this both standing is exterior. You can go out of the auditing room and start walking up and down the boulevards. For a while, with some of the processes we had and were stressing at the time, auditors believed that it was absolutely necessary to have a complete course as an infantryman before you could learn how to audit. You'd have to put in your 20 or 30 miles before breakfast in order to accomplish your object. Well, even though it is somewhat arduous walking around with a pre-clear and so on, remember that it is a tremendously effective process. Look at all the havingness available there in all the fields and streets and people and so on. There are many processes that run best outside. Of course, you get some pre-clears and you take them outside and they look at all that space, or they're forced to look at all the space and they collapse. Well, that means you should audit them a while inside before you take them outside. There is a psychotherapy. I'm mentioning psychotherapy quite a bit because we do wish to avoid the results of psychotherapy wherever possible. We are not engaged in psychotherapy and don't believe we should kill people. So in France, for instance, they have a total process by which they take patients out into the grounds each day and let them look at just a little more space than they did yesterday, and these people eventually get rather sane. Now, one of the oldest and best known savage psychotherapies is also appended to this both upright. You understand this? Scientology isn't psychotherapy, but you have to compare it this way to get the fullness out of it. There is an interesting thing that the black has long known, that if you could walk somebody far enough until he dropped and then have him walk back, that he would arrive home, usually, in good condition, mentally. Remember that. Remember that if you're ever suddenly stuck with a psychotherapy problem. It does work. You just keep him walking. Don't point anything out to him. Now, another thing is you tell a workman or somebody who is having a lot of trouble with exhaustion, you say, instead of coming home and listening to the radio, instead of coming home and slumping in a chair and thinking how bad it all is, come home and announce yourself and then go out and walk around the block until you are interested in what you are looking at. No forced interest, you see. You're no longer worrying about the job and you're no longer tired. He will say, you walk around the block until you're not tired. This sounds peculiar. And yet, the very funny part of it is that it is not peculiar at all. His tiredness comes from a continued physical inaction. And when you ask him to go into physical action, he comes off the stop points, the no-game conditions of tiredness on his own track. Tiredness is psychosomatic. It is not even factual. Now, where we have where we have an auditor and a pretty clear both standing, we get better ARC, of course. And where an auditor is having very difficult sessions with a preclear, where the preclear seems to be still in a rejecting frame of mind regarding anything the auditor says and does, just remember that it could amount to a fatality to go into another position. We just could ruin the case completely. We get tired of standing up and walking the preclear around the block and doing other things, you see. And then we suddenly say, well, let's have a little rest here, and I'll sit down and let him walk. And this might very well be the end of that. You see, the preclear would no longer have this ARC. So in order to audit, you have to be tougher than preclears. And a preclear is not really tough. He is compulsively tough. An auditor must be knowingly tough. So we get to the second position here. The second position is, of course, one which is attained only by increasing the preclear's ability to be controlled. Start, change, and stop by HC or something of the sort. Now, he's willing to be controlled and willing then to have his own control take place out of the auditor's control. By the way, the reason you put a preclear under control is to permit the preclear to take over his own control. You establish knowingly a source of control. Now, he is being controlled by many unknown sources of control. Never feel it is bad to put a preclear under control, real control, start, change, and stop. Never feel it is bad, because the preclear is under many hidden compulsive methods and sources of control. He's under all of these various things. They're not in sight, so you come along as the auditor. You're in sight. You're visible. He can hear you, and you put him under control, and then ask him who did that when he's gone through the actions, who stopped him, who stopped the body, and you keep prodding him a little bit, and he eventually then takes over control. But you take it over from his automaticities and machineries, demon circuits, and all the rest of it. You take it over from that, and then he takes it over from you. And if you weren't there to act as a relay point, he never would attain control. So don't feel bad at all about making preclears jump through hoops. Don't feel bad at all, because it's definitely necessary. Now, unless you have put the preclear under control, his own automaticities and basic control mechanisms will turn on him and cause him, under some figure-figure or thinkingness type process, like a tell me a problem of comparable magnitude to your present time problem. Let us say you're just auditing, just to be auditing, coffee shop sort of thing, and you really haven't him under control. You audit something which audits him, or you audit him and he audits something else. Don't you see? Now, you have a lot of machinery there which is, quote, helping you out. And none of this machinery is of any benefit to you or anyone else. And you take one of these heavy automaticity cases and run them through SCS, and you see their machinery start to chop up. And you see a little bit, don't be surprised after an auditing session if you actually find broken cogwheels on the floor or something like that. It's almost that bad. And if you were auditing him without putting him under a good, thorough regimen of control, you would discover that you were auditing into a mass of automatic machinery, and your auditing commands were being chewed up between this gear and that gear, and this cogwheel and that cogwheel, and it's just nothing as a result. He's eaten a lot of energy. This we could finally assume. This fellow has been audited for 25 hours. Somebody says, no, if he has not been put under good, thorough control, you could say he has eaten some energy for 25 hours, and maybe it'll agree with him, and maybe it won't. Now, we would go then into the next position only when the auditor was actually certain that he had a preclear there to audit. And that next position, of course, would be the auditor sitting down and taking it easy, and the preclear walking around the room. By this time, of course, or walking around the street while the auditor sits comfortably on a park bench, you know, sits there. Very good, you know, it's comfortable. And it would be a test. It sort of puts the preclear on his own. But remember that with preclear standing, auditor sitting, the preclear obviously is being put on his own. Now, right after we did a lot of dianetic processing many years ago, we discovered something that was quite fascinating. With what glee some auditors took unto their bosom the idea of having the preclear walk around or sit in a chair, the auditors would promptly lie down on the couch. We just got a flip-flop of the whole thing. Actually, we did have that condition for a while. I know one day an auditor started to audit me in a foundation and stretched out on the couch to get into that. That was very amusing. Anyway, we don't have that position either. See, we not only don't have the position of auditor sitting, preclear lying down. We don't have the auditor lying down and the preclear sitting or standing. Now let's look at this one of sitting down and moving the preclear around. You see, it has an immediate frailty. It has an immediate frailty. We are not in comparable positions, and therefore ARC is difficult. And ARC is liable to break up. And if the auditor gets into a very heavy circumstance with the preclear will much more likely desire to quit the session if the auditor is sitting down. So, although you feel that you haven't rested enough, you see the tension begin to mount with the preclear. For heaven's sakes, get up and walk him around some more, don't you see? Or get up and stand there while he looks out the window. Stand alongside of him, you see, and restore that ARC. If you notice that the auditor sitting down, preclear standing, does put a tension on the session. This sounds idiotic, but it's something that you actually have to take into account when you're auditing. And then we get the time-honored one of the auditor sitting and the preclear sitting, both of them sitting down. Now, a great deal of old auditing was done this way, and a great deal of auditing in the future can be done this way. But it is a circumstance which gives itself and lends itself to figure-figure, and therefore has a frailty there. Well, auditor sitting, preclear sitting, we are much more likely to run subjective processes just because we are not in motion. All right. Therefore, it is perfectly allowable as an auditor preclear position, but in order to allow it, we have to go in to the second subject of this lecture, which is extroversion, introversion, and which is not merely important in regard to these positions, but which is in itself fabulously important. Important enough so that a neglect of it can bring about a failure of a profile of a preclear to change. That's pretty important then, isn't it? It's one of these little gems of information on the subject of auditing, which was won the hard way, and which evidently cannot be ignored. And now and then, when you think you're preclear and your sessions are going wrong and so on, you're merely ignoring this little piece of information. Actually, it comes from Advanced Clinical Course Number 1, Camden, and it is extroversion, introversion, alternation of. When you have introverted the preclear's attention for a considerable period of time, remember to extrovert it for a time. You are trying to get the preclear's attention well extroverted. In order to do so, however, you will have to introvert it and extrovert it in alternation. Now, what do we mean by that? There are two types of processes. One is subjective, the other is objective. By objective processes, we mean looking at the actual forms, people, and walls in our vicinity. And the subjective means a look at the preclear's universe and those universes which are closed with it internally. He actually is looking back into his own head or his own bank, you see. Creative processes are subjective, where he does mock-ups and things of this character. Those are subjective processes. There are innumerable processes that are subjective, conceptual processes, get the idea, any get the idea process, any process in which he is simply told to change his mind, any of these things. Those are all each and every one of them subjective processes. Now, objective processes are spotting, no matter what is being spotted, and no matter what concept is being put on what is being spotted. See, no matter what concept is put on what is being spotted. Although you're putting an idea out there on the wall or in the ashtray, that is still an objective process. Why? Because thought is being merged with the ashtray. We're looking around and asking the preclear, what wouldn't you mind not knowing in this vicinity? A very important process. Of course, that's an objective process. Even though his mind is working, it is a matter of attention. Is his attention inward or is his attention outward? And that's what we mean by objective, subjective. Now, of course, his attention is outward when he's putting it on mock-ups out there, you know. But that's still a subjective process, because it's in his mind that the mock-ups exist. All right. Now, as we look over this alternation of extroversion, introversion, we unlock the secret of why people spin in, go mad, adopt other valences, become disabled, become incapable of thought. All of these various odds and ends become revealed. There was a punk by the name of Pavlov who had a bunch of dogs, and after a great many years of study, he found out they barked. And this... It's all very well. I shouldn't be this impolite, but there's been so much smoke made about this fellow Pavlov that when I at length uncovered a secret manuscript of his, I expected really to find something, you know. And it was about as informative as a comic strip. He gave people the idea, however, of driving people's attention inward. And if he'd said that and specialized on it and had any concept of it, why, it would have been quite effective. But the physical universe is a brainwasher from Pavlov's standpoint. Only he simply speeds up the action of the physical universe. The physical universe yanks your attention out and drives it in and confuses it. And whether that's being done in school or by your mother or somebody or other, it's a sort of a long-time brainwash. If you speed that up, you have everything that Pavlov knew about brainwashing. He just tried to take the general actions of the physical universe and speed them up against the individual. People evidently didn't exist as far as he was concerned. And he did, however, find out about introversion. And therefore, the subject will be found lying around in old sciences and so on as a rather complex thing. It's not complex at all. I'll tell you how to introvert somebody. Walk up to him and kick him in the shins. And he'll introvert. Now, if you watch him carefully, the next moment he will extrovert. You see how that is? Extroversion, introversion. Now, if we were to see an airplane crash out there in the street at this moment, our attention, with some horror, would leap out there to that airplane, you see? That's an extroversion. And then a little while afterwards, somebody would say, you know, I've ridden in airplanes, that could have happened to me. That's the introversion component, don't you see? So we get these alternations of extroversion and introversion. And it so happens in this universe, because one is standing in the middle of a lot of things that are flying around, that one tends more to introvert than to extrovert. The balance is on introversion, for the most part. So it is necessary, when you're auditing a preclear, to pay attention to this cycle of extroversion, introversion. Now, SCS is introversion. Why? Because their attention is on the body and into the body and into their own difficulties, you see? They're not really looking at the room. They're looking in on themselves, you might say. And so as you run it, you will find an oddity occurring. They will introvert, introvert more and more. Well, they will eventually extrovert on the same process, but it may be just a little bit too dramatic. They may introvert to a point of wham. And you might not find that as entirely satisfactory. So they find the going is a bit rough. All you have to do is extrovert them, have them put their attention on the environment, no matter what concept you care to employ. We've run SCS for a while in the pre-clear, and he seems to be pretty bad off, and it's getting awfully heavy on the pre-clear. Now, the wrong thing to do would be to run another introversion process. The right thing to do would be, well, let's sit down for a moment. Assume that second position. You sit down, he sits down, his feet are tired anyhow. And you say, all right, let's look around here. Is it all right with you if we look around here and spot these walls a bit? And he does, and he comes back up out of the soup. And whatever process you use, you could say to him, very fancy, you know, what effect could you have on that wall over there? Look at it now, what effect could you have on it? See, his eyes are open. All processes are run with the eyes open always, by the way. Anytime Preclear starts to close his eyes, I kick him in the shins. The soles of the feet, actually, technically. I tap him a little bit, and I say, you know, soles of the feet, and I say, you still with us? Yes, I just thought it'd be more comfortable to have my eyes closed for a moment. Well, you just stay more comfortable with your eyes open, will you? We have him spot those walls, no matter what we say. What effect could you have on them? Get the idea they're shouting at you. Put an unknown odor in them. Anything you want to do. And by the way, that's a terrific process. Cures hay fever. Fellas always gotten hay fever whenever he smelled dust, so you just put dust in the walls and the floor and the ceiling, round, round, round. Unknown dust. So forth. It's quite interesting. But those are all extroversion processes, don't you say? Now, he's brightened up, and he's cheery, and he seems to be in present time and so forth. Get him up on his feet and start him through SCS again. So you see, extroversion, introversion. If you introvert them, extrovert them. If you extrovert them, introvert them. And back and forth. And they will gradually sort out what the physical universe has been doing to them for a very long time.